Will you please stay with me for the next few minutes and disconnect yourself from the worldly things and thoughts and join me while I follow Jesus Christ from a short distance. Although Christ's birth, youth, and ministry were very unusual to those who were watching him and his followers, his last days and hours on the earth were beyond human understanding and reason. You may say, well, we're not sure. I've heard all kinds of comments the other day. Some people claiming this, the other people claiming that, believers claiming some kind of a doctrine, and unbelievers saying, how can you worship a dying man on the cross, and yet we, as a human race, we have celebrated the death of great men who did very little to improve the human race. We are always ready to lay flowers, bring flowers to a tomb, or bring flowers to a child or someone who was slain. And we have people who will year after year honor the death of their parents. And yet when it comes to our Creator, because we say we're not sure, I am 100% sure and more than 100% sure that someone has created me and someone is sustaining me and every one of us here. Just look around you in the universe. We are the only little rock, if you wish, that sustains life. And we are the only creation that we know of. And yet, we laugh at the Creator. But this morning at least, please follow me for the last days of Jesus Christ on this earth. How things have changed since Jesus had received a royal welcome when he was entering Jerusalem. You remember how they welcomed him? Hosanna, Hosanna, welcome our King, our Messiah, our Lord. But they had misunderstood his entrance to Jerusalem. They thought he would make people rise and overthrow the Roman Empire, or he would negotiate with the Romans and get some kind of a negotiated peace or freedom. And when they realized that Jesus was coming to them with a different kind of a message, a message that said, love your enemy, it made no sense. All the leaders, religious leaders today, I believe, are known for some kind of activity that would enable their followers to conquer. And if people did not agree, they would be punished. And yet Jesus came with a message that said, love your enemies. Which message is greater than that and more difficult to obey? First, we see one of his disciples plotting to betray him. He walked with him. He ate with him. He was blessed by Jesus, and yet he was willing to betray him for some money, for some gain. Then we see Jesus having his last supper with his disciples where he washed their feet and announces his death. Please tell me which leader you know of that would be willing to come on his knees and wash the dirty feet of his followers. Usually you see our leaders protected in beautiful limousines, and when they go for a supper or for a reception, they are watched and protected, and the best foods are prepared. And then we hear Jesus predict Peter's denial. Now, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he knew that Peter was going to deny him, and yet didn't say, get out of here. You are a traitor. He loved him. Next, we follow him to Gethsemane, When we hear him ask his close friends and companions to pray with him, but they fall asleep. We're still following Jesus. And then while still in the garden, he is betrayed by one of his disciples. And he is arrested like a criminal by the soldiers. And at that particular moment, when he needed them the most, his disciples, and I quote, all his disciples deserted him and fled, leaving him alone. One disciple that followed him from far, when questioned, he denied that he knew Jesus at all. Jesus was then brought to the high priest, and the high council to be falsely accused by false witnesses. And there, the chief priest and the elders decided to put Jesus to death. Why did they decide to put him to death? Because he did not join them. He did not compromise. He was not politically correct with the system. And then they bound him and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And while the governor is trying to free Jesus, the crowds and the priests are shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him, and let his blood be on us and on our children." Now, what kind of a heart is this? What kind of a corrupt mind is this? Crucify him, kill him, and may his blood be on our children. Well, they asked for it, and he was crucified. And his blood is on all those who reject him. And as if all these things were not enough, in Matthew 27, verses 27-31, we read, and I'm going to read this portion. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and the whole company of soldiers gathered around. They stripped off his clothes and put on bright red robe on him. Then they made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and put a stick in his right hand. Then they knelt before him and made fun of him. "Long live the King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the stick and hit him over the head over and over again. When they had finished making fun of him, they took the robe off and they put his clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. There were no volunteers to help Jesus carry the cross. So the soldiers forced a bystander by the name Simon to carry the cross. What a privilege. What a privilege. At the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, they nailed him to the cross between two thieves, one on his right and the other on his left. You may say, "I know the story. Why are you repeating it?" Because that's what will make us remember well what Jesus went for you to be here this morning. Passers by shook their heads, threw insults, and cursed Jesus. "Save yourself. If you are God's son, come on down from the cross," they said. The soldiers, in the meantime, were busy dividing his clothes among themselves by throwing dice, and then sat down to watch Jesus die. I just, in brackets, I would like to say that this is happening even today. Jesus died on the cross. God himself emptied himself from his glory and died. For the unbeliever, this is unbelievable. This is weird to even say that. And yet for the believer who has experienced his presence in us, it means everything. While Jesus was dying on the cross, people, or at least the soldiers, were trying to gamble what little he had left. While we are celebrating his death and resurrection, there are many who are making money out of it. And still the human heart has not changed, including churches and religions. Well, use his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his name to make money. All of a sudden, at about 12 noon, the whole country was covered with darkness for 3 hours. That is until Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now some may say, how can God forsake himself? Well, at that particular moment, he's our holy God, could not be part of that sin that was now crucified on the cross. Jesus took all our sins, and people say, well, again, you're going with your theories about sin and forgiveness. Believe me, if you ever experienced the love of God and the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know that your past that has been forgiven has not been, you have not been carrying anymore. And we have heard testimonies at the Bible studies or even in the church of people who, when they became Christians, believers in Jesus, and started following him, they felt that heavy load of whatever that was. It could have been murder, it could have been whatever, lifted weight. And you say, well, what are you saying? A murderer can be freed? Well, yes. His body may end up in jail, and yet he is free now. And the only thing that could give him freedom is the blood of Jesus Christ, God himself, who died and poured his blood for us to be freed from sin. And I've received letters from prisoners in the past few months. A prisoner that was condemned to die 3 times for committing 3 murders. And then for other terrible sins, when he accepted the Lord and read his word and read one of my articles, he wrote to us. And we've been corresponding. And he says he came on his face down. He said that I was such a corrupt, terrible person, like the Gadarene we read in the Bible, the demon possessed, and yet now he feels so forgiven. This is why Jesus died on the cross. People around him were still mocking him. And finally Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the darkness disappeared. The curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, and graves broke open, and many of God's people who had died were raised to life. When the army officer and the soldiers with him who were watching Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and they cried out, "Surely he was the Son of God." These soldiers had just crucified him. These soldiers did not believe that he was the Son of God. These soldiers gambled his clothes away. These soldiers didn't really care a Jew dying on the cross. And yet when they saw the evidence, they very quickly changed. And they said, "Surely he was the Son of God." I believe that's what happens to the human heart. Like the soldiers, when they see the evidence of God, they change and they accept him as their Lord and Savior. What a tragic picture Calvary is of humanity. While the Son of God suffers for men's sins, the soldiers gamble for his few earthly possessions, the Jewish leaders make fun of him, and others just sit and stare at him. Jesus' life, it is finished, John 19:30. Actually, this sentence was one Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai. It was used by merchants to mean the price is all paid. Servants would use it when their work was completed and they were reporting to their master. And Christ, the obedient servant, had finished the work the Father gave him to do. Christ willingly and deliberately gave up his life. He laid down his life for his enemies. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The spiritual hymn asks, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, I was. I was there when they crucified our Lord. My every weakness, every shortcoming, my sinful and fallen nature represented by those people were there. Everyone was represented there. Priests and church leaders were there. Fishermen and carpenters were there. Government officials and soldiers were there. Prostitutes and fornicators were there. Jews and Gentiles were there. Every conceivable sin and corruption was represented there. So, no matter how you feel, if you feel as holy as a priest, or if you feel as sinful as the worst criminal, you were there. Your sins, I mean, were there. They put him on the cross. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Do you believe in him? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Or you are still doubting him? Many today are like those around the cross, looking at Jesus but not believing him, not receiving him. They were so near. They are so near, yet so far. But one dying man on the cross next to Jesus reached out to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. What about you? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? He actually died so you and I can live. What are you waiting for? Let us pray. Father, thank you. I don't have words to describe my gratitude to you, other than to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins, for giving me the freedom, for liberating me from my past, for giving me peace and serenity and eternal life. But I pray, Lord, that everyone who is present here may receive the same kind of liberty, victory over sin. Lord, you made it possible for every generation, for everyone who looks at the cross and looks at the price you paid and receives it to be saved. And Lord, thank you. Be with us and help us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.